Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. So the book of Deuteronomy, what's it called when two people sing together? It's called a duet. That's right. So duet means two, and it is the second. It's all about the second reading of the law. So in the book of Deuteronomy, the law is presented twice, as it was given on to Moses, and it's the second reading of the law. It records the first time when the law was first given to the people of Israel, and then it records as the new people were about to go in and claim the promised land, the law was given a second time. This is Moses' last book, and it's a bit sad really, because it talks about what happened between the first reading of the law. The children of Israel being delivered out of slavery and out of bondage with supernatural deliverance, and God presents what he wants for them to live. And then they backslide, they turn away from the Lord. And then he brings them back, and they grumble, and he brings them back. And you know, you can imagine poor old Moses, he says, Lord, these people, they complain about this, they complain about that, I have a headache. And I imagine the Lord says, take two tablets. So so he does, the tablets of the Ten Commandments. And he tries to get the people on target with the two tablets of the law. But regularly through the book of Deuteronomy, the people, whilst they know one thing, they live another. And then what the end result is, a whole generation dies in the wilderness, having not met and walked into the fulfillment of God's promises. God was keen to bring the whole nation immediately into the fulfillment of his promises. But they were not ready to do what was required to walk into the full promises of God. And so now a new generation arises, and Moses himself is presenting the law a second time to upskill and get ready this new generation to claim their promised land. Sadly, Deuteronomy finishes with Moses himself not entering the promised land, because he himself chose not to give glory to God at a key moment in his life. And the end result was he missed out in going into his promised land. You know, Moses, who the Jews look in and say the most significant of the prophets, the greatest of all the leaders, the great deliverer of the people of the Jews, and yet he himself had a time when God judged him because he didn't do what he was told. The story was, the people complained, we're thirsty. The Lord, Moses comes to the Lord, and the Lord says, I want you to take your staff. I want you to go to the rock. Now pause. This had happened once before. And Moses had been instructed to take the staff and hit the rock, and out gushed water enough for the multitude to drink from. But this time he said, I want you to take the staff, go to the rock and speak to it. What he does, out of frustration, he grabs a hold of the staff and hits the rock with it. And he goes to try and prove, he said, this is to prove that I'm your man. You should be doing what I say. You're frustrating me. And out of this frustration, he took some of the glory of God. Now, and then the end result, the Lord say, well, because you did that, you're not going into my promised land. You might say that's a bit severe, isn't it? You know, there's a principle. We are accountable for what we know. The more we know, the more we are accountable for it. With higher the revelation, the higher accountability, and the higher the judgment. We will stand before God on what we have done with his word, what he's revealed. And that's why at times sometimes in church services, you know, we might be getting a download, a revelation from God. He's speaking to us, and someone is just totally not getting it. And the reason why is this, because God, out of his mercy, holds back his revelation to an unwilling heart. Because he knows that if he actually does pass that truth on and they do nothing with it, he must then discipline. So, you know, the Bible says, he who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, let him hear. But sadly, there are some people, they come along to environments, they don't have ears to hear, they don't have hearts to receive. Truth begins to be poured out, they're not getting it, it's not getting them. And the reason why is God, out of his great mercy, is holding back the revelation. And there are other people, they seem to be going from revelation to revelation, truth to truth, progressing in their walk. The reason why is because they're ready to say yes to the Lord every time he speaks. They give room for the word, room for truth, and because of that, he then releases more. And Moses, who had high revelation, was then more, his level of judgment, his expectation on Moses was much higher. I stand more accountable before God about what I know than someone who's a brand new believer or a non-Christian. And so in this scripture, we are encouraged to the children of Israel are told, okay, we're going to give you the law the second time. The second time we're going to give it to you, because you now are going to go into the promised land. And Moses says, and not only learn from your fathers, but learn from me. You must do what God reveals. And then he begins to preach. And these are basically two sermons, the second law, Deuteronomy. In the first part, he preaches how the children of Israel were delivered and the law. And the second part is now to the new generation. This is the law. And we read verse 1. And if you faithfully obey, say the word obey, the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do, say do, all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So, isn't it a little bit scary? You're driving down the road, enjoying yourself, all of a sudden this huge truck comes up barreling behind you. It's not only a big truck behind it, it's a big load, and then attached to that is another big load. And you're thinking, yikes, I better make room for this truck. And the truck blasts past you. Well, imagine the goodness of and love of God, this big semi-truck coming up behind you, because you're in his lane. And you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And he comes up roaring up behind you. Honk, honk, make room for me, he says. And so we make room for the Lord, and he comes past us. And all the blessing that he's carrying, all the goodness, all the mercy, all the love of God, all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. But, you know, we need to position ourselves into God's lane. We need to be where he wants us to be. And he makes it really clear in his word where he wants us to be. Now, when we obey his voice, when we do what he says, this is what he says he will do. And all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. And blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, that means your children. And the fruit of your ground, that means your work. And the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket. Who wants a blessed basket? And your kneading bowl. Man, we need some blessing upon some cooking, don't we? Not me, I'm a blessed man, I got to tell you. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in your undertaking. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself. See, this is all about being in God's lane. This is all about doing what he's saying you to do. Holy, being dedicated to him. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself. As he has sworn to you, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, and all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall only go up and not down. If you, that's a word for someone right there. You shall only go up and not down. But here's the point again. We want the blessing. Well, oh God, bless me, bless me, bless me. But when our lives are in direct contrary to what God wants, how can we walk in the blessing and the goodness of God? And if God has been speaking to us, but we have been resisting giving that area of our life to him, then we can't have those blessings come upon us and overtake us. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you today, be careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right and to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. He says, I want to pour out such a blessing upon you. I really do. You must obey. Then later on in Deuteronomy 28, he lists from verses 15 to the end of the chapter, which is considerable, the curses that come upon us when we choose not to obey. Now God wants to bless. He loves. But be sure of this. He cannot bless you. He loves you, but he cannot bless you when you're deliberately living a life contrary to what he wants of you. It frustrates him. He wants to pour out grace and mercy and goodness and provision and blessing and opportunity. And he wants you to expand to the left and to the right. But when one is deliberately doing something that they should not be doing, it frustrates the heart of God, and it also limits the encounter of God in that individual. Now, jump with me to chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I've set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, pause. In chapter 28 and 29, the Lord warns this. If you disobey me, you will lose your way. You'll find yourself in places you should not be. And in this particular case, he says you'll be dispersed to other nations. You'll lose your way. You'll be in a wilderness. You'll be barren. You would have lost years. You would have lost yourself. And he's true. It's true. Some of us have been in those barren, dark places because we've disobeyed him. Now he says, if you find yourself having been in a lost place and you want to come back, you can. Look at verse 2. And return to the Lord your God and your children. You and your children. So return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice. Obey his what?
Voice.
In all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. God is trying to reach out to people who've lost their way, Christians who've lost their way. He loves them. His love is real. Yes. And his love is without limits. He's trying to speak to his children. And he says, if you'll return to me, you and your children, your family, if you'll return to me and obey me by everything that I've commanded. Listen, as Christian, you might say, that's an Old Testament scripture, Tony. Surely that's not relevant today. It is absolutely relevant for today. Because the Old Testament, you know, some people might want to cut out the Old Testament and say it's not relevant. All scripture is God-breathed and is helpful. The man of God, woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has not changed. He's still the God who loves and the God who wants to bless and the God who judges and the God who disciplines and the God who will give an opportunity for a lost child to come back. He says, I'll return to the Lord your God. Verse 3, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. I like this. And have compassion on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of the heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. Look at verse 9. And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of the ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers. When you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commands and his statutes that are written in the book of the law, which you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Very simple word. Look at verse 14. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good. Life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commands and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply and the Lord your God will bless you and the land that you will be entering to take possession of. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them. In other words, anything that cools our affection for God is idolatry. Anything that draws our heart away from God is another god, whatever it is. I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days. That your length of days, Ron, length of days, that you may dwell and the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give to them. What a great promise that is to us. You know, we don't need a lot of explanation when it comes to the Word of God. It comes crystal clear to us, doesn't it? That scripture is as clear as it possibly can be. Everybody, God is ready to pour His Spirit out in blessing and provision, increase and fruitfulness. If we love Him, Jesus said, those who love me obey me. And those who obey me show that they love me. So Lord, you know the old story, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. So I think at times in our Christian life begins to whisper to us that maybe we've just got a little bit distracted, got a little bit lukewarm in our love for Him and our obedience to what He's shown. We've drifted, we've wondered why something is missing in our life. Why the encounter of God is not what it used to be. Why the grace of God is not flowing in our life. Why the love of God is somehow cooled in our heart. And the reason why is because the last time He spoke to us, we've not been fully abandoned to walk into it. We have judged how much of an obedience level we should add to that. Forgive Him. Totally forgive that person. But you don't know what they did to me, Lord. I'm not allowed to say those things, but they hurt me. I'm not allowed to think those thoughts. You know, the Christian life is immensely practical. It is immensely practical. It affects the way we think and speak and act. So God draws us today and He says, my word is near you. Yes. And He really wants you to engage His word. And I just want to just hover over that passage one more time. Verse 14 of chapter 30. But the word is very near you. Hands up, all those of you who have a Bible. Please put your hand up if you have a Bible. Praise God. The word is near you. You know, there are a lot of our brothers and sisters without Bibles. We are blessed, 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 blessed. The word is near you. It is in your mouth. I just want to encourage you, start speaking the word of God. Now, sometimes, I was talking to a friend of mine who works as a social worker, and she said, oftentimes, when you're helping people to live a whole new life, she said, the brain is wired with pathways that have been developed over time. Those pathways are the ways that people got used to thinking. And in order to live a different way, you have to set a new neuron pathway in the brain, which requires a very deliberate, long journey of thinking and speaking and acting in a whole new different way. It just doesn't come natural. But unless, of course, God supernaturally puts that neuron pathway in your head. But generally, she said, so often we give up on people when they're trying to live a new life, trying to live differently than what they used to. They have all these existing pathways in the way they think. And it takes patience and perseverance to create a brand new neuron pathway through the head to be in that, living that new way. And so I want to say to you, really clearly, God might, at times, do something sovereign and pop, there's a brand new neuron pathway in your head. But generally in the Word, there is weighty responsibility for us to do the changing. To have His thoughts, speak His Word. To live the way He wants, even if we're not used to it. So, what has God been saying to you? What has He been speaking to you? He wants to bless. He really does. But we all have to get in his lane. Get in his lane. So, the word is near you. It is in your mouth. I do not want to underestimate the importance of speaking out loud God's will and God's word. There's so much to be learned from that truth. And in your heart. So it's near us, in our mouth, in our heart. And here's the point. So that you can do it. So if there's a new pathway for you to live, then go back to the word and keep on praying it, keep on decreeing it, keep on declaring it, keep on claiming it, keep on thanking God for it, and seek to live that new pathway. You know, when someone has an alcoholic problem, they want to be free from alcohol. Very rarely do they go clean first time and as soon as they... Sometimes they stutter in the process of getting free from the alcohol. They fall off the wagon. Is that the phrase they used? And some people get grace, they're totally free, boom. I had a friend of mine who was into drugs, and he not only smoked it, he did for 25 years, he sold it. And anyway, he turned up to a church service with a bad back, and the healing evangelist prayed for him, and he immediately got healed. And then he was totally delivered from smoking pot. Absolutely, boom, gone, freedom, deliverance. Totally delivered of drinking, he had a drinking problem. Boom, gone. Yes. Absolutely freedom, deliverance. But then he had a problem with smoking. And he thought, why did you, God, you set me free from pot, you set me free from alcohol, why couldn't you do the trifecta? What about the tobacco? I'm struggling with that. And he oscillated between smoking and not, and smoking and not. And every time he went back to smoking, he'd feel terrible about himself. And finally, he said, God, I've tried all I can. I can't do this. You're going to have to do this. So he came to me and he said, God's told me. No, I've told God I can't do it by myself. So unless he helps me, I'm just going to keep on enjoying smoking. And... I thought, well, how do how do I respond to that one? But I felt the Lord actually was wanting to encounter him in that area. But it was a few weeks later or whatever. He woke up one morning and he turned to his wife and said, I'll never smoke again. Boom, he was free. I love that. A friend of mine who got saved, but in his lost life, had a problem with foul speech. Now, he was totally saved, absolutely saved, but this foul speech thing just kept on following him. He'd witness in the freezing works, and it'd be a strong witness, and then every now and then, beep, out would come a word, beep, out would come another one. And he was feeling absolutely ashamed, and one day in prayer, he said, God, if you cannot set me free from this, I'm not going to witness because I'm ruining your name every time I witness. And then, beep, out comes a word. And then one night, in the middle of the night, he wakes up. And he hears Isaiah 6. Now, he knows Isaiah's in the Bible. So he opens, he goes to the front of the book to find out where it is, Isaiah 6. And then he starts reading. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up, the train filled the temple, and he sees angels flying around saying, holy, holy. And Isaiah says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, oh, that's me. And he keeps on reading, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, and he realizes, that's the freezing works. It says, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? And then I said, here I am, send me. And he thought, wow, that's amazing. That's interesting. Then he closed his Bible and went back to sleep. Didn't know what to do with it. Except the next morning he woke up absolutely free of this problem of swearing. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. But I also love those who have lived one way and God says, I want you to live another. And they go through the journey. It's not immediate. It's a metamorphosis. It's a journey of transformation. And after, you know, while they're in the middle of it, they might think, this is, oh, I'm failing. I'm falling here. I'm falling off the wagon here. And this is not quite happening here. But they get back up and they trust what they've heard and they know about the heart and love of God. And in the process, God transforms them. And then they look back. Sometimes they go through times when they feel the growth in them. And other times where they don't feel they're growing too much, except 6 months later, 9 months later, they're a different person. And in the process, God's been pouring out his grace and mercy. So, today I want to encourage you. Choose life. Choose blessing. By choosing to love and obey. He's your Lord. Amen? I've been a Christian for 44 years. And really it does come down to that simple truth. Love and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to love and obey. Trust and obey. Love and obey. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, you are hovering over your word to perform it in us. So Father, I pray, God, that you would forgive us for the times when we have not said yes to you, when we've not loved you in our obedience. We have chosen to be disobedient to what you've clearly said. Please forgive us. Father, I pray, God, that as we seek to live the surrendered life, not only would the transformation go on in us, but then revelation would continue to come as you show us the people we should be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And now I speak blessing. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the fields. Blessed shall you be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. As you walk in God's lane, so that all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to finish now with our offering.